Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show. This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And we're here at the brand new, palatial, state-of-the-art
Freaking Awesome Studios.
That's right. Sitting at our what is usually our kitchen table. Now it's just the round table of
awesomeness.
Awesomeness. Yes. Hope everyone.
I know it.
Hope everyone had a good weekend. As you guys know by now, we usually do our show from the apartment.
We usually do our show from the house.
Yeah, actually now, exactly. So, I wasn't even thinking. We usually do our show from the house. Well, we moved. That's why we had to we had to skip the show last week. But now we're back.
Back again.
With a brand new. What's that? Guess he's back with a brand new invention. I think got the whole day tightly.
Are you trying to sing Ice Ice Baby?
Yeah. That's not right?
No.
That shows how wide. Actually, it shows how wide I am. I'm rapping the wrong rap. Was that Eminem?
Oh my God, just stop. I can't.
Yeah, Angie listens to rap music a lot. She knows all the words, all the dope lyrics, as they say.
God. I really hope Rihanna's not listening.
She knows how to drop a beat, as they say on the streets. Kick it one more time, boy. Ding, 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 ding. You know what?
No.
To get off the subject of rap music, that I have no idea what I'm talking about. There is a, I was a bitter man. First, to talk about this weekend. There was an investigation at Henricus Park on Saturday, a joint investigation that I was not at, but apparently they had a good time. They had a lot of good evidence. So next time there is a paranormal investigation at Henricus Park, if you have the opportunity to buy a ticket, I suggest you go out there because apparently there was a lot of great evidence and EVPs caught out there.
Good times were had by all.
Except for me because I was working at Pizza Hut. Delivering pizzas. Bitter. But I'm over it now.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not over it yet. But you know what? Coming up soon on March 30th, there is another joint paranormal investigation at Scotchtown and Hanover Tavern. Now, if you are from Virginia or if you have studied American history at all, you probably know who Patrick Henry is. He is the person who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." His famous speech at St. John's Church. Pretty famous figure here. The investigation is going to focus on two locations that were instrumental in Patrick Henry's career and life. Scotchtown and Hanover Tavern. Both are very active locations. I've been to both of them. I've investigated both. I got great EVPs from both locations. And if you're interested in coming out and you enjoy history, I would definitely make the effort to come up to, if you're anywhere close by to the area, is to come by and I might definitely suggest coming out and joining us on this investigation. It's only $75 a ticket.
For two places,
you know, and these are very historically significant locations when it comes to the birth of our nation, and very active locations too. So if you have a chance to come up, I would definitely do that for sure. Reason why we play Ghostbusters as our theme. Yeah, see, RJ knows why. Don't hang up a phone. See, RJ's grabbing the phone now. He wants to be a part of the show. So I have Angie and RJ at the table right now. And RJ has got, I don't know what he has in his hand. Some Flonase. Oh, gas drops. He's a little gassy. The reason I got off base here, off subject, the reason why we picked Ghostbusters is because we have the team Ghostquesters on the show. Every time they would say Ghostbusters in the song, I was thinking Ghostquesters. Who's going to call? Ghostquesters! And another special reason. This has nothing to do with the song, but my cousin is actually the one of the lead members of the team of Ghostquesters. Might just be her and her husband. I don't know if there are other people involved in the team or not, to be honest with you.
But we'll find out.
We will find out soon enough as soon as you put them on the show. I just got to... Do you think we should put them on?
Let's do it. Are they ready?
Are you ready? I hope they're ready because we're going to put them on.
Hello.
Hey.
Ow.
So Sorry, it's a little hectic over here.
How y'all doing tonight?
You know what?
We're doing
pretty good. We've got RJ over here grabbing everything.
This isn't as easy as it was when he was younger.
Yeah, we can just put him in a swing and he'll go to sleep. How's it going over there?
It's going well. I've been a little I've had a cold, so hopefully I can make it through this without driving everybody insane.
We've got a baby that will periodically yell for no reason. So if you want to cough, I will perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, and the last show we did before we came over here, I had the flu. So
yeah,
that was wonderful.
So I mean.
You
we know all about. We know all about that. We'll take the baby. You do the coughing.
Yeah,
that's right. RJ's on the floor laughing over here. So, what's going on, man? How is North Carolina? Is it warm down there?
It was warm today. Things are good. We're in the process of building a house, so that's been kind of exciting, and we've had a few things going on, but you know, we kind of are little baby paranormal investigators because we haven't been at this very, very long. I think we counted up, we've done 9 or 10 investigations, and we really want to do more. But we gotta get moved first before we can do all that.
No, we know how that is.
Yeah, we had a move, which I mean literally it was like you need to be out in like
30 days.
Yeah,
oh, those are the worst.
So do what?
I said those are the worst.
Yeah, it well, Angie, you know, she's been living in that house for 7 years.
8 years this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I acquired a lot of junk.
Yes, I can relate.
Trying to downsize, you know, all of her stuff to fit into an apartment isn't easy.
It's tough because you have to decide what you want to keep, and I mean it's not always easy decisions. And then you look at things like, well, why did I keep this crap?
Yeah.
You know, like so that's easy. But then you've got things that, like, I've got both of my parents have passed, and I have a lot of things that belong to them, and I'm like, well, I feel like I should only get the guilt thing that, well, I feel like I should keep this, but I really don't want this piece of crap.
Yeah.
You got to just let it go then.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go.
That's what I'm working on right now, is letting all sorts of things like that go.
Me too. We're right there together.
Ugh.
So, how did you get your paranormal team together?
Do what?
How did you get your paranormal team together? Is it just you and your...
Well,
RJ, please, give me the floor.
Well, I've always been interested in the paranormal. The house that I grew up in, I know had something going on with it. I don't really know what. I would love to be able to go back there and check it out and investigate it, but unfortunately it belongs to somebody else now. But I would see things out of the corner of my eye walking. We had this really long hallway that went down the house, and I would see things like turn the corner and things like that. And one of the stories I told Ryan when we were up there was when I was a little girl, and I was probably, I don't know, maybe 8 years old, not old. My bedroom and my parents' bedroom were at the back of this long hallway, and I know that I heard somebody walking up and down the hallway, and it scared me half to death. And I was in the bed, and I was crying, and I was convinced that whatever it was coming to get me. And my daddy finally came in and had enough, and that was back during the days when, you know, it was okay to spank children, and I got mine, let me tell you, not for crying so much. So fast forward probably about, I don't know, 25, 30 years, my mom was then living alone in that house. I called her one morning, and I said, how was your evening? She said, it was horrible. I was convinced that there was somebody in the house in the hallway, and she couldn't see from where she slept. She couldn't see the hallway. So she was scared to death and didn't want to get up and look. And she said finally after about 20 minutes it ended, but that she never got back to sleep. And I said, it serves you right. I got my ass busted for that when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
So you can sit there and you can have a bad night's sleep. You did not, she said. I absolutely did. I said, there is something in that house. I'm telling you. She said, well, I'm a believer now. So I'm always been interested in the things that lie, but the whatever it is that's beyond this, I've always been very interested in it. And then
how
so
about,
Nick and I, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I was going to ask Nick how his first experiment was, or if he had one at all with growing up.
Sure, friend.
Well, my experiences with the afterlife or with the paranormal, I would say that it didn't really start. I did not have my first experience with something that I was unable to explain, because anything that, because I was, prior to us doing investigations, I was a huge skeptic. I always tried to debunk everything. I always tried to find the answers to why something happened. So one day, I think in my mid-20s, I was working at a grocery store, and I was putting, I don't know if you probably know what it's called. It's called a float, where you put a bunch of items on it, take it out from the back on out onto the sales floor. So I had a bunch of dairy products. It was first thing in the morning. And then on the right side of the float, I had all the eggs stacked. And then on the left side of the float, on the left side of the float, I had nothing. So I can take all the empty crates out of the well and then put the new crates in with that were filled with eggs. So there was no one in the store at the time. And I come out of the back of the dairy cooler with the eggs on the float, come up to the well. I start shifting everything around, the egg crates, that is, and taking all the empty egg crates out, taking all the damaged eggs out, just basically consolidating so that I can put the new eggs in. So I pull up, I start shifting everything around, and then by the time I am about to take the first egg crate off of the float, to put it into the well, it had probably been 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes tops that the float never once moved. Now, mind you, I also have a security camera in the store that had, it was facing towards me, but my back was towards the security camera. And you see me come out with the float, start moving everything around. And then all of a sudden, that float, it was like someone had grabbed the float, shook it back and forth, and then pushed it. And it flew to the other side of the wall, and you see me turn around. And I'm nowhere near it. There's nothing on the left side of the float that had, you know, that could potentially move in that direction, because everything was on the other side of the float. So, and nothing could explain as to why the float shook as bad as it did, and then it was pushed. So that was my first ever paranormal experience that I could not figure out for the life of me as to why that float shook the way it did and then pushed. I even took a leveler, put it on the floor, and even the floor was level. So there's no way that the left side of the floor was lower than the right side, so the float could go to the left side. So it was perfectly level. The float was never touched. And because it sat there, when I pushed the float out, it sat there for no more than 5 minutes. and then all of a sudden it shook and it was pushed. So I went and saw the security cameras and watched the footage and showed all the people that worked there that day, and they were beside themselves. But that was probably 10 years ago. It was in my mid-20s, and that's my only ever first experience with the paranormal. And I say that prior to that, my sister and my mother's had experiences that they've told me stories about. But that is the only experience that I had. And ever since I met Amy, she always was fascinated with the paranormal. And then I just kind of came in with it. And one afternoon, she's like, Nick, what do you think about going and investigating a haunted place? I'm like, that sounds fascinating. Why not? Let's go do it. And we went to a private location. There's quite a few things that happened that we couldn't explain. And then we went to, where else did we go after that?
Oh, we've been a few places.
I think we went to Waverly Hills.
Well, we went to the historic Anchorage Hotel.
Oh, that's right. The historic. Yeah, that's right.
And then Waverly. So we've done. We've done
way
quite
out
a few
there.
But it was. What, Anchorage?
Wow.
We happened to be there. We were taking a cruise. So we happened to be there anyway. So we just happened to pick a haunted hotel to stay in. And we got some really good evidence there. That was probably our first real investigation. We got probably the only. We've gotten a lot of EVPs through, like, the spirit boxes and stuff like that, but probably the only disembodied voice we've gotten so far, we got at the Anchorage Hotel.
What did it say?
Hello.
Did you hear it?
We did not hear it.
Oh, wow. Was it a female or male?
It was female. And so the story with that was there was a lady who had come to Anchorage to marry a miner, I think it was, or somebody like
the
that.
The owner of a mine.
Yeah, she got left at the altar.
Excuse me.
And she was so upset that she hanged herself in the hotel. And so we were staying on the floor, and we were actually on the floor where she supposedly hanged herself. And excuse me. We had actually gone to our room with the lady that was an employee at the hotel. We'd gone to the room because we had our EMF detector had gone off a bunch in our room, and we were trying to debunk that to see if there were any electromagnetic fields, like in the closet. There was like a storage closet behind our room, like where they kept all the cleaning supplies and stuff. We wanted to see if there was an electrical panel in there or something. And we never did find anything. And so I'm walking, and it was like about, I don't know, it was around midnight. There was nobody in the hallway. It was myself, Nick, and the lady at the hotel. And I had come back out of the room, and I was saying something about, I couldn't hear anything when you were knocking on the door, I couldn't hear anything or something like that. And this voice just clears a bell. Goes hello, just like that. I mean, if it had been somebody that was staying at the hotel, it would have had to have come from their room because there was nobody on the floor. So it would have been muffled, and this was not a muffled voice or anything. It was a clear as a bell hello. So we wonder if it wasn't the lady, because we had just been talking about the lady who hanged herself.
So were you recording at the time, or were you just kind of talking with each other? And
we were. It came through the camera. It came through the camera audio. I was talking at the time, but it says hello after I stopped talking.
Right.
So it's very clear. It was, and in fact, I heard it and I went, wait a minute, there wasn't anybody else on the floor. And we listened to it again and again, and it's a clear, it's very clear EVP.
That's super exciting, you know, when you get an EVP like that. Even like, you know, today, you get these EVPs where it's like there's no way that was me. No matter how many pieces of evidence, good pieces of evidence you get, the best one is always the next one.
Right. Well, you know? I was so excited with that one because, again, if it had been anybody, an actual human talking, we would have heard them. The three of us would have heard it, and none of us heard her.
And there, and you would have, from there, when we were there, there were hardly anyone at thing at the hotel. There's, because this hotel is really well known for being actively haunted, and so
it drives a lot of people away.
Right. Some people, they stay there, then they have problems, and they end up leaving before their time's up, before their day's up, or however long they're staying. Usually they leave early. And then some just, you know, once they learn that before they book the reservation, it, you know, if they do a little bit of research, it does state on their website that it is haunted. So that will also drive some people away, but definitely not us.
No, we also got another cool thing there too. There were some people, the lady that works there that we were talking with, they would not let us go down in the basement of this building for insurance reasons. But she said that they get there's a whistler in the basement that whistles at the women when they go down there. And so we had set our cameras up in the bar area. Now we can't, the only thing about this one is we can't because we weren't there, so we can't disprove that there wasn't someone messing with us. But at one point, it was about 2 or 3 in the morning, we got a whistle. We picked up somebody whistling. And there really wasn't anybody in the hotel other than the night manager. And he knew we were there, and he wasn't in there, so you couldn't, you know, he didn't come in there, so it wasn't him. But we did pick up a whistle. So
that's rough when you have a great piece of evidence, but you know, you have people who will be like, well, it's a hotel, of course it could be someone whispering or whistling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like so frustrating. She's like, no, it's weird, there's no one there. Oh sure, okay. But there,
right.
That's with any piece of evidence you put out there, you know, EVPs, you know, photographic evidence, video evidence, it doesn't matter. There will always be someone who says, well, it's got to be doctored. It's fake.
Right.
So, I mean, it is what it is. You got just something we have to deal with when it comes to our evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't want, you know, if people don't trust us or trust the evidence we put out there, and there's really no point in putting evidence out there. People have got to take our word for it.
That's true.
Well,
you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, when they find out that Nick and I have been doing this, a lot of people will ask, what's it like? Or, you know, what is it, is it scary? Is it this, is that? And I say, well, I've been scared a couple of times. I tend to see things. Nick doesn't really see anything, but I've seen quite a few things on our investigations. And one in particular freaked me out. But the thing that I can tell people for sure is that, you know, they watch the shows on TV and they go, yeah, but they could have done this, they could have done that. We've got enough stuff that is verifiable to know that we get something. I mean, we get these things, and I tell them, you know, they may doctor them, they may not. I can say that I know for a fact that we don't. And
I'm not smart enough to doctor evidence. It's just,
you know what?
I say I'm not smart enough to doctor evidence. I don't have the skills to do all that all the time to fake evidence. If I don't get evidence, I'm not that worried about it. You know, I'm not gonna get anything from faking it. Neither are you. You know,
right.
Well, we're also, you know, we also want to make sure that we're building our credibility. We just don't want to put stuff out there that because, quite frankly, this is in a very expensive hobby.
Yes.
It's very expensive. I think I just said it 4 or 5 times. we don't want to put this amount of money into something to fake evidence. To fake evidence is free. And what we have put into this is something that we thoroughly enjoy doing together, because we've always had the fascination with the afterlife and the paranormal. Just more so for me, just in the last 10 years, but Amy, her pretty much early childhood until now. But when it comes to doing this together, it's just something that we just really enjoy doing. And it takes a lot of time to put an episode together and to really put our hearts out into this and to let people know that what we are finding, what we are capturing, what we are hearing is exactly what, if you're standing next to us, that's exactly what you're going to experience. And we're just not going to put out fake evidence, because it's not worth our time, and it's definitely not worth our viewers' time.
Well, I mean, community is so tight-knit. And plus, with the advent of social media and, you know, the internet and stuff, and people putting evidence out all the time and people critiquing the evidence, if someone was to put out fake evidence and it was ever found out, you know, it would be the end of that particular team. Because all you have is your word that what you experience is real. You know, I mean, that's why I think a lot of people don't take, a lot of times, like Bigfoot, Bigfoot evidence is not taken seriously, because right or wrong, you know, so many people have faked, you know, finding Bigfoot, fake flyers, faked, you know. And I've done it. It's just, and nowadays when people, you know, put out Bigfoot pictures, people automatically think, oh well, that's a fake, because it's been, you know, fake so many times.
Right. Well, you know, you said a little bit ago, you know, you're talking about going on an investigation. If you don't get anything, then you don't get anything. You know, we've had a couple of investigations where we haven't gotten a great deal. But we almost enjoy it. I don't mean that, because you really always want to get something, but it validates what we do get. Because if we just don't get anything, we just didn't get anything, you know. And then there's really, you know, then that's okay. Because when we do get something, we go, okay, that's it, you know.
Yeah, you know when you got something, you know. Although it is kind of going through 8 hours worth of recordings on your digital recorder and not hearing a damn thing.
That's a lot.
So, that part.
Yeah,
tough.
It's the digital recorder. I mean, we have two, we have three of them going.
Listen to all that.
We have.
It takes a long time. It really takes a long time to go through all the evidence.
It takes for our previous one we did of USS North Carolina, that took us. To review all the evidence, that took us a week.
Mm-hmm.
All the audio, all the video, re-listening, and then rewatching. That took almost a week. And then to put the episode together, it took us almost 2.5 months. So, because it's just myself and Amy doing this.
And we have full-time jobs outside of this. If we could do this full-time, we would definitely do this full-time. But, we've been working through the footage that we got when we did Cabin on 360. We got what I think is one orb in the basement. There's other, like, light anomalies, but I think they're dust, or I don't think they're insects, but I think they might be dust or something. But we did get one decent orb. But then the thing that we got in the basement with the stick figure, That was really cool. That might be one of the coolest pieces of evidence we've ever gotten with the SLS camera.
Yeah, because it was sitting in a chair.
There is definitely some interesting SLS evidence down in the basement of the brick rancher.
Oh, absolutely.
We've had a few teams have some good luck, some luck out there.
Well, we got Nick, we had the SLS camera down there, and Nick asked whatever it is to show itself, and it was lying on the floor in front of us, like almost like one of those old fashioned, if you know what he had whatever it was, had it almost had his hand on his elbow, laying out straight on the floor, and he reached up and either waved at us or flipped us off. We don't really know which it is, but he did one or the other, and then he disappeared and he showed up in this one chair over on the side, one of the chairs that's down there, and he just kept hanging out in the chair. And when Nick asked him if he could raise his hand, he raised his hand. And that's that's probably one of the coolest. And then he disappeared from the chair and showed back up in the chair. And this went on and on. And that's probably one of the coolest things we've gotten evidence-wise.
Man, to raise his hand, he raised his hand on demand.
Yeah, we tried to get him to do it again, but he wouldn't do it again. But when Nick said, "Would you raise your hand?" he shot his hand up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
we did a radio show down at the basement last Sunday. We did a radio show out there. We were doing an SB7 session. It was me and my friend Dennis, one of the caretakers. Mm-hmm. I know you met Dennis. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were down there, and Dennis asked, like, "Who are you afraid of?" And on the SB7, you hear a voice saying, "Dennis, clear as day."
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what made you decide to, when you, you know, putting evidence together and, you know, starting a team is hard enough, but then you decide to film it? Are you making, like, is it a YouTube channel you guys have, or is it, do you put out DVDs? First, what made you decide to do that, and secondly, how can people view your stuff? Is it online?
It is. It's on YouTube. And the reason that we take the care and the time to put it together is because A, we want to preserve it for ourselves, and B, we want to share it. I mean, we want to share what we get with others, so they can watch it and hopefully experience it right along with us. You know, our goal and kind of our mission is we want to find stories. So if there's someone there who maybe, you know, everybody wants to talk to the little boy that hangs out on the fourth floor at Waverly, but, you know, do people want to talk to maybe the surgeon and the nurse that we found in the operating room that had something to say to us? Those are the kinds that we're interested in, and anybody who might have a story that they tell.
And we also want to share their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it gives them some kind of, I don't know whether there's closure in the afterlife, but, you know, maybe they have something that they want to say. So that's what we're really driven by, and preserving it for ourselves and sharing it with others. You know, it's not,
because when we do talk about it, we have something to show. We have something to back it up with. Because when we do say something that's way out of left field, you know, when we were at Waverly Hills and the nurse and the doctor came through the spirit box. And they gave us two numbers, and it ended up being medical codes.
That's what we theorized.
Right. Well, I mean, back in that day, those medical codes added up to be tuberculosis, and that's pretty impressive to get medical codes. Well,
that's quite a coincidence.
Yeah,
it's a little too much of a coincidence at a tuberculosis hospital. To get that code
And that sounded like that sounded like a man. So the man goes 818, and it's in the same voice, and it's over numerous sweeps. of the mm-hmm. of the spirit box, and then a female voice comes through and says, "Got it." Like,
well, that's just like, yeah, that's just like me happening to hear the name Dennis twice in the brick house.
Sure.
You know, on SB7. You know, it's too much of a coincidence for that to be like not taken seriously, you know?
Right.
But for several days, Amy and I, we tried to figure out what 8 and mm-hmm. 18 meant. And I researched and I researched, Amy researched, and we researched this for almost a week, trying to figure out what those numbers meant. And then we finally came across what they call, I forgot what it stood for. Wait, it's International Classification of Diseases, ICD, as the acronym. But and then I looked up the medical codes because they change periodically. Mm-hmm. But I looked up the codes from that time period, and I looked up 8, and I don't remember what it is, but it dealt with tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis unspecified. One of them
that's
was
right.
tuberculosis
that's
unspecified,
and
the
18.
Other one is tuberculosis of other organs. Because
right.
I didn't know this, and this is just one of those random facts. Tuberculosis didn't just affect the lungs. You can have tuberculosis of the brain, tuberculosis of the evidently you can have tuberculosis all over your body. I thought it was just a lung disease, but evidently I was wrong.
So,
right.
So it could spread like a cancer type of?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, there is a
oh, wow.
tuberculosis of the brain, and they had a electroshock therapy room at Waverly Hills, and that's where I think I got attacked in there for this. I'd never gotten attacked before, but I got attacked in there with chest pains and broke out in a cold sweat. It was real. Whatever it was real. And the
oh,
second
wow.
I walked out, stopped.
But then you went back in there a little
and
while.
Then I went back in there a little while later, and I didn't have any more chest pains, but I couldn't get my breath. Like, I couldn't take it. It was like somebody sucked all the oxygen out of the room. But I didn't know that there was such a thing as tuberculosis of the brain. I'm all in some, just in my, if it doesn't have anything to do with paranormal, I'm usually into true crime or how people died mm-hmm. or things like that. And I'm always in for some obscure knowledge or obscure trivia. That's another thing. I really like researching these places and these things, because then I get to learn these obscure things that I can tell people, and they look at me like, you are a real weirdo. I'm like, I know.
Hey, this is definitely a hobby for weirdos. Although I don't really consider it a hobby, because I like collecting stamps. That's a hobby. I mean, it's more
right.
of a lifestyle
yeah.
than a hobby. Because it really becomes a part of your life. You know, once that veil is once you see past the veil, once you realize that, you know, there is more out there, it changes your whole perspective on life.
Yeah.
You know, it's a passion. People who have it, you know, who do what we do, I've got to be passionate about it, because it's something that takes, like you said, takes a lot of,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not the most glamorous thing in the world.
No. Nope.
People.
It's hard to.
People look at.
It's hard
it.
To stay up all night.
Yeah. Especially like now when I got the baby at home and, you know,
right.
working at night too. It's just it's hard sometimes to schedule life around, you know, the paranormal, but it's something
yeah.
we love to do. So we make time for it, you know?
Yes.
So how did
yeah,
you,
we're very...
how'd you guys come up with the name? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we were sitting around just, I don't know, brainstorming about what a good team name would be. And we came up with a couple of different variations. I can't remember what all they were, but for some reason, Ghost Questers just seemed to be a good one. It was a little different. And nobody was really that we could find was really using it, and so
mm-hmm.
And you know we that's what kind of what we are we're kind of we are on a quest, you know, we want to find out what, you know, gain knowledge and gain information. I wish we could do more a little bit more than what we have time to do.
We will,
but you know, we will in the fullest time. Right now we have a 11-year-old, And that kind of, you know, he's not just not quite old enough yet to take on any kind of investigations or anything. But, you know, if he gets older, if he's interested in it, of course, certainly we would take him along. But we're kind of, you know, our investigations have to be kind of limited to the summers or when he's on break and he's with his mom.
Yeah. I've taken Rihanna on a few investigations with me, but she was like 13 at the time. So
yeah, you
know, she's kind of, I guess, grown out of it.
Right.
Well,
now,
I don't know how Noah, you know, he watches our stuff. And of course he loves to watch like Ghost Adventures and shows like that. He really enjoys watching anything that, but I don't know how he would do wandering around in the dark in an old building.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's in his wheelhouse. That might freak him out a little bit.
I know 11-year-old Ryan would have been freaked out by investigating an old building. So.
Oh sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean it's. No, it can. Sometimes it freaks me out. So there you have it.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, just to segue into that, the only time that I've been truly freaked out, I'm not sure if that's the right saying, or but when we were at Cabin on 360, I was in the brick home. Right as we started filming for B-roll film, and Amy was filming the log cabin, and then I was in the other home, the brick home. I went through the house, did some B-roll film, made my way into the basement. And it was just me in the house. I was just going around filming and at the same time setting up my static camera. And all of a sudden, I was back towards where the opening is, where the HVAC unit, where the majority of the chairs were, underneath, I think, the master bedroom out in that back area. And by then, I had been in the house probably going on 30 minutes. And all of a sudden, this loud bang right above me. It sounded as though a big sheet or a big 2x4 board had fallen onto the hardwood floor, but obviously there's nothing in the house. And that was the only thing. And I went upstairs. I tried to get out or try to get in touch with Amy, make sure, to inquire to see if she was in the house, but she wasn't. And so I made my way upstairs back around, and there was nothing that had fallen out of place. And also, the house is pretty much empty, and there was nothing on the hardwood floors. There was nothing, but it sounded like something big had fallen onto the floor, which was right above me, and that startled the hell out of me because I wasn't expecting that. And because out of all the locations we've been to, I've never had any loud bangs that I could that I can remember that startled me like that. And I had to do a selfie because I took a picture of myself because I felt the blood in my face start to go away. It wasn't in my face anymore, and my face was like completely white. So, but anyway, I continued filming, finished up my filming, got up with Amy, and found out she never was near the house, never was inside the house. She was filming in the back, back in the forest, and then also at the log cabin. So it was just me in that house for a good 45 minutes. So
when the noise occurred, you were in the basement. Did you said you were filming? Did you have that on like as peaceful. Like, could you hear it on the film?
You weren't filming at that time when you got the bang.
Oh,
when
you
the bang happened.
No,
you didn't get it.
I don't think I was filming.
So that's what I asked you, and you said you didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't think I was filming. So.
Well, I mean,
I'll set the static camera.
I can vouch for you guys because it's not the first time that something like that has happened. You know, it wasn't quite as big as what you heard, but we've heard like what sounds like rocks being thrown, like pebbles being thrown on the hardwood floor because it's a big. We walk in, it's a big room. It's hardwood floor, but it's very like echoey when you walk in. So, you know, if you can imagine just a room with no furniture, hardwood floor, no furniture, it's very echoey, very loud. So if something like that falls, where there is nothing to fall. That's the thing. There's no wood. There's no nothing like leaning against the wall that could fall down. It's just an empty room. So if you hear like a rock being thrown across the floor or a big wooden with something, I guess, a board falling down, there's no explanation for it because there's nothing up there that could fall. So I can vouch for that. It's happened before out there. But you had something else happen right before the investigation started. There was a fire. I guess it was in the median across the street.
Yeah.
I know it's probably nothing paranormal about it, but it's just, you know, it's just weird that it happened. Happened to happen all exactly at that time, you know?
Yeah, it was right after you guys had left, and I walked outside, and I was like, it was like really quick, and there was nothing going on. And I walked inside and walked back outside, and all of a sudden it was on fire. And I was like, the road is on fire. So I'm sure that the fire trucks came and all that, and I'm sure that it was somebody threw a cigarette out or something like that, but it was weird.
It was three individual fires.
Yeah, it was three little fires. It was weird.
And it got out of hand pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it
wasn't that bad. It was, but there were. It was a fire. It was a fire enough that the fire truck had to come put it out. But that was.
It's
that
strange
was,
because
that
it's.
We definitely want to come back there and investigate again. We've talked about it several times that we want to, you know, see if we can get more stuff, get more evidence.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned to you before, we got a few things. We didn't get a ton, but we would definitely like to come back and explore that again because it was. And we want to do Fairy Plantation is another one we want to do again. We spent the night there one night.
I do enjoy Fairy Plantation. That's a great location. St. Albans is another location that's worth checking out.
Yeah,
we are doing that joint investigation of Hanover Tavern and Scotchtown.
Yeah.
Up here in a few weeks. If you're
I wanted to ask
get the
you
urge
too,
to come
I,
up.
I saw that and I was gonna ask you if you've ever done anything at the Mickey Tavern.
No, we have not. We've investigated the Exchange Hotel in Gordonsville, which was a Civil War hospital. That is in a very active location as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really heard of many teams going up to Mickey's Tavern. I mean, I've been there, I've had food there, but I've never investigated out there.
Well, the reason that I ask you is it's not really the Prendergast side of my family, but on my dad's side of the family, because you're on my mom's side of the for those of you listening out there, Ryan and I are related on my mom's side of the family, but this is my dad's side of the family, and the Mickeys are wrapped up in my dad's. So it's kind of a family. It's not anymore, but I'd have to ask my sister how it all ties together, but it's now they've moved it. But my grandmother had spent some time. My great grandmother had spent some time there, and they've actually moved it from its original location. But my grandmother told me a long time ago that it was haunted. And you know, she told me that when I was just a little girl. She told me that. So,
when I was
we should pull some
thing,
strings.
Don't do that. So I'd be interested to know if any, you know, if anybody's had any experiences there. So since that's kind of up in your neck of the woods, I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, I would say you should pull some strings, see if we can get us in there. See, it's in the family.
Yeah,
let's
well,
see if
you can
get us an investigation out there.
Actually donated a bedspread that had been on one of the beds there that my whoever had used, and they jumped at it and said, oh, yes, we'd love to have the bedspread. I mean, you know, it's an old bedspread.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Still,
I
mean,
know.
It's cool. It's out there.
Yeah. But we're doing St. Albans in April. We're going to be up that way and do St. Albans. I'm really looking forward to that.
I finally was able to get reservation.
Well, you guys will have a great time. It's I mean, I've gotten some great evidence from out there.
Yeah, we're trying to get. We've invited a few people. We of course we invited you if you can come, but I understand if you can't.
Yeah.
We invited a friend of ours from Nashville, Tennessee. We've invited a couple of people who went on our investigation with us of the USS North Carolina. And really had they had never really done anything like that before, but they did a really good job, and
mm-hmm.
so we're hopeful that they'll come along. So because from what I understand, it's a pretty big property.
It's a big location, yeah.
Other than you know probably
easy
more than
to get
two
lost
of
in.
Us. Can, yeah, probably more than two of us can cover you know decently.
You could probably get 20 people and probably more than that in there and not even see each other.
Right.
The whole night.
But we'll do the best.
Yeah,
we'll do the best we can.
It'll be fine. You know,
yeah,
just,
I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be as I said, you guys will have a lot of fun. And plus the people up there are very very helpful, you know, and they love the location and you can tell
mm-hmm.
when you go out there.
Yeah,
how passionate they are about it and stuff. So, you like you know how I love the cabin on 360. They love St. Albans.
Right.
They're very proud of it.
Well, you know, and what a lot of people don't understand, I don't think, is this is you know these old buildings, these old locations are part of our history, and without
mm-hmm.
without some of these fundraising efforts, which is what kind of what you're really doing is you're making a donation to keep these places going. You know, it's really a good historical, really kind of a good historical thing to do. I know that kind of seems kind of weird, but people don't really think about that because, like, for example, Waverly Hills is a perfect example. It is a time capsule of a very specific, very tragic period in our nation's history. But for using it as a place to go investigate and raising money like that, what would they do with it? I mean, it's just, you know, it's too old.
Nobody would know about it.
Yeah, they'd probably tear it down. So, and that
would
be sad.
Can you name any other tuberculosis hospitals in the country? Because you know there's more than one. I can't. I don't know any other.
No, that was the main one.
There's one in upstate New York. It's right now it serves as a, I think as a juvenile detention center. But it's in upstate New York, and it used to house tuberculosis patients. But there's not many, no.
But, yeah, but, I mean, off top, you know, top of people's heads, like, you know, a normal public, they wouldn't be able to name more than at least one or two
No.
tuberculosis hospitals, but they know Waverly Hills.
Sure.
Oh yeah, that was on Ghost Adventures. Oh yeah, that or like poor farms like Rolling Hills Asylum or places like that.
Right.
You know they know it because it's been on TV.
Right. But I don't know, we really have it's really something that we enjoy doing. My family all thinks I'm crazy, but that's okay. They thought I was crazy.
Yeah. They think I'm crazy too. Don't worry. Although Dad, he has heard some of the evidence I've captured, like some of our investigations, and he's like, "Wow, I can't explain that." So
right.
I think he's one of those people who doesn't want to think about it. He knows it's there because
right.
I've shown him it's there, but
mm-hmm.
you know, he doesn't want to talk about it or think about it too much.
Right.
And, you know, I wonder how these energies all interact with us just on a daily basis, because you know all these energies are around us. I mean, you know, they aren't just rattling chains in old buildings. They're here with us now. They're with you now. You know, and how do they affect us on a daily basis? You know, if I'm in a bad mood, is it something that kind of caused me to be there? You know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We don't know. That's the thing we don't know about, you know, much. You know, like, not much I thought. The more we know, it seems like the less we do know about the paranormal. You know, are they just constantly around us? You know, you said they're not just sitting there boning and ooh, all the time. It's like, what do they do when we're not investigating?
Right.
Do they interact
with each other?
Do they, you know?
Right. Well, I talked to a psychic a few years ago, and I took some of my mom's items, especially a bracelet, because she you could take her items and she could, you know, tell you things. And she told me enough to where, you know, I really did believe that she had channeled something about my mother. She said some things about me that, I mean, it was vague, but it wasn't like, you love the color purple. I mean, it was, but things that my mother would have said to me that there's no way that this woman could have known. But, you know, she said that my mother is like a light breeze. She said she just travels. She said, so when you feel like a light breeze come by you, that their chances are that it could be your mother. She said, but she kind of lights here, and then she goes and she lights there, and she visits everybody, you know, just kind of checks in on everybody all the time. So, you know, how specifically she does that, I don't, you know, she didn't get real specific on, but, you know, she said she's like a light breeze. And so I think they just kind of, you know, hang out and do their thing, you know.
Hearing stuff like that got to give you comfort to know that she's around, you know. And when I go visit my mom's, you know, grave, you know, there are times when it would be like a calm day. I'd be talking. All of a sudden, a breeze would come up. And you like to think, get a little for sure, of course, but you like to think that maybe it's her saying hi. You know, because it gives you a little bit of comfort knowing that she's still around, you know.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I do really think that that's a thing, but you know, but it does make me interested. Well, what do they do? You know, if they're not, I guess they just kind of hang, I don't know, read a book. I don't think so, but I guess they just kind of just trying to travel, you know, and kind of do their thing. And then I wondered, you know, then there's like my grandmother. And you know, while I have sensed a lot of things about my mom and even on rare occasions, my dad, but my grandmother and I were, my dad's mother and I were very, very close, and I've gotten zero when it comes to her. And so I'm like, well, where's she? You know, it's just weird. I'm like, where'd she go? But maybe she's on some other plane.
Somebody you're really close to.
Right.
You hope they'd come back and, you know, try to communicate with you somehow.
Yeah.
But like I said, we don't know how it works over there. Maybe it's like, oh, okay, well, this is why she's not coming. Maybe she is here, but doesn't feel the need to, unless you feel like you really need to hear from her.
Right. Well, maybe she knows that I'm okay, so she's off doing something else with somebody else. I don't know. But,
somebody who,
you know. So,
it's definitely one of those things where it's like you don't know for sure. You don't know what's going on the other side.
Well,
as far as that's
concerned. Right. I read an article last weekend about that a psychic had written, and I actually posted it on our Ghost Questers Facebook page, about the psychic talking about the traditional theories and ideas of heaven and hell, and that it's not like a place, that there's not like a place where you just play harps and you know, everything's beautiful all the time, and nor is there a place where, you know, there's
burning pits of fire and all this stuff, that it's more the energy and space around us, and that they exist in these different spheres. And it's a really interesting article. It was a good one.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that article out.
It's on our Ghostbusters page. I'll see if I could, I'll message it to you too, because it's
okay.
A good article. Of course, the reason I can't remember everything about it is Noah was up with his very first stomach flu, and he was up all night Friday night. And this was, I read this about 3:30 on Saturday morning. Oh, it was great. He's gonna die.
I'm sure. I mean, people get the stomach flu. I'm sure they wish they could die.
It
can be pretty rough.
Said today, I asked him about the death. You were convinced you were going to die. He said, I was like, take me now. I can't take it. I don't think he's ever experienced such pain. It was because, you know, when you have like that kind of thing and you're just sick, and you're just like, holy cow, will it never stop? It was one of those. So I can't exactly remember chapter and verse how the article went, but that was the gist of it. But
well, I mean, if you tell me how it is, you'll spoil it for me. I won't be able to read it. I won't have to read it.
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is more of a tease.
Right. You
type
got
of thing. So now I have to read
it
to see what happens.
Yeah.
So when you are investigation, like, would you go? Do you like doing public investigations, or do you prefer like doing private cases?
We've done both. It's more expensive, but I almost prefer to do the private ones, because then you know that what you're getting is what you're getting. Of course, on the public ones, there is some camaraderie that you kind of gain with the other people there, which that kind of happened with us at Waverly, which was fun. But when you're at a location like the USS North Carolina, which we've done twice, once we did on a public investigation, and the second one we rented it for the evening for ourselves, that it's just such close quarters that you're on top of each other all the time. So
it's hard to do a public investigation in places like that.
Yeah. So it was hard to find a place to go, like actually investigate, where you could just kind of do your own thing. But now at Waverly, it was completely different because that place is huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I think you know, as far as like we've done two private locations. One is like a commercial building, and the other one was a private residence. But you know, I'm real hesitant. I don't know. Nick might be able to speak to this too. I'm where we are right now, I'm almost hesitant to do a private residence. I just don't know that we're in somebody's house that I don't know how to deal with. And I just don't know that, like, we have some people that reach out to us on our Ghostbusters page, like, how do I deal with this or how do I deal with that? You know, we're still trying to learn. And I'm certainly not, you know, any kind of a medium or anything like that that can, you know, offer up any real solution.
Yeah, we're still getting our feet
wet. But there are people, if you have questions, that you could call. You know, I know Dennis.
Sure.
If you have questions about, you know, if someone calls you and say, I have a problem.
Yeah.
There are people, like,
we ought to
there
ask
people
them
you
about
can call.
That,
you can ask for advice. And
they'll
be more than willing to help
really,
you out.
Yeah, this lady's got a really specific problem. I'll let Nick explain it to you because he's interacted with her more than I have.
So this lady reached out to us asking for help, and her situation is that anytime she looks into a mirror, she sees a spirit, and it's only whenever she looks into a mirror she sees some type of spirit. And after talking with her we narrowed it down to being that she has an attachment. There's something attached to her. And I don't want to give her advice that may or may not cause the situation to be worse than it already is. So the best way I know how to help her is to research individuals that have more years of experience than myself or Amy combined in order to get that person the help he or she needs. And that is when it comes to that area, that's the only way that we know how, is to get people that have more years,
professional involved.
Yeah, more professional involvement than we do, so that that individual can get the help that he or she needs, and not have to deal with that on a daily basis, because she was really, really needing help. But I had some ideas, but I've never put those ideas into full effect, and I didn't want to give her the advice that I was thinking in order to give her the help. So instead, I reached out to a lady that's been doing it for 40 plus years and gave her her number, gave her her contact information, how to reach their social media. And hopefully she sought out the help that she deserved, or, that she should get. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like I said, you did a good thing. Yeah, you don't want to get in over your head.
Sure.
You don't want to make it worse. The situation worse. So you find someone, because we're not experts on everything when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, we know what we know. And we get to things we don't know. We get to different parts of aspects of the paranormal that we don't know. That's when we reach out to people who are more versed at that particular topic, you know?
Well, and, so that's why we're trying to build the people that we know. That's why it was so nice to, see you and meet Dennis. And we're really trying to get to know more people, within the paranormal community, and hopefully at some point maybe build our team, out to where we have just a few more people. But that's kind of what's where we are right now. But I have enough respect for it to know that there's stuff out there that I certainly don't know. And while I'm learning, it's not going to be the time to go learn it in somebody's house that is having a problem, and all of a sudden I go in there and stir something up and then make it worse.
Yeah, you don't want to practice.
No.
At someone's house,
Right. I mean, I kind of figured
like you said,
that
you don't want to stir
this,
stuff up.
Is, right, and maybe this is the wrong way to look at it, but I kind of figured that, like take Waverly, for example, or the USS North Carolina, everything's already stirred up there anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, they make a living. That's how they make their living, is when how they make money is for people to go out there and investigate, stir shit up. And I'm not saying they should, taunt or do whatever, any of that stuff, but
no,
it's the difference between people. It's the difference between going to someone's house where they have to live with whatever is in their house, and going to a place that's making money from people coming in there and investigating.
Sure.
Because people who are making money from it, they want this stuff there. They want the ghost there. They want them to be active.
Mm-hmm. But so while that would be maybe nice for a future endeavor, right now that's not anything that we really getting.
We just have too many irons in the fire right now.
And we have a lot of irons in the fire.
We just got a lot of things in our personal life that we have going on.
Yeah.
And once we get all that, taken care of and squared away, then we can more dive into this and research and study more on a deeper level, so that when we do face that, we can give better advice to help anyone that may or may not need help, or know someone that does need help, and they can pass along the information. But as of right now, the only thing that we can really do is just get somebody else that's been more involved than we have, because we've only been doing this for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we're on, this summer will be year two, going on year two. So we're still fairly new at this.
Well, it's a constant learning experience, that's for sure. And I, you know, I don't pretend to know much of anything at all about this shit, to be honest with you. I mean, I barely know what any of the equipment does. So
just, all of life is a learning experience. I don't think you ever know everything. I mean, that's just impossible. If you think you do, then you're a fool.
There are a lot more smarter people at this stuff than I am. Yeah, like you said, everyone knows, people know what they know, you know, and it's a constant learning experience, and you just try to pick up knowledge as you go. But again, there's so much of it out there that you can't know everything. You can't know what to do every single time something happens, because it's not a brain space. You've got to know your limitations, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
So when you guys are investigating, what's your favorite piece of equipment?
Well, I'm probably the spirit box person.
Mm-hmm.
I really like using the spirit box.
I think that's our main device that we find ourselves going back to with every investigation that we use is the spirit box majority of the time.
And I also would love to have an SLS camera, but we don't have one of those yet.
I think that's pretty much.
It would be nice to have one of those.
That's probably going to be our last. That's the next piece on our list is an SLS camera. We pretty much have all the other devices.
And then of course then our digital recorders, because
yes, for the
you know, really that's all you need to go do an investigation
is
a recorder.
It's amazing how much money people spend on like different flashy little K2 meters and stuff. Or you get your phone or get a digital recorder for $30. You go to an investigation, you get an EVP. That's probably better evidence than a K2 meter flashing.
Right. You know,
it's basic, but it works. And you're talking about an SLS camera. You know, Dennis, he makes SLS cameras now.
Right.
And they're fairly cheap. They're not too expensive. You know, they're really a good quality camera. If you are interested, I sent you the link to his Facebook page. You should contact him and see if you can't, you know, talk to him about making you a camera or something if you're in the market for one, because he does a great job.
Well, that's the one that we used his camera down in the basement of the branch house.
Okay, so you know.
And it was a very nice setup. Once we get this house closed and do all that, then we'll have more funds available for things like SLS cameras.
The one piece of equipment that once it works, it's a lot of fun to watch, and that is a REM pod. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah, I can't argue with you on that one.
Because there's been only two times of the 10 investigations we've been on, it's only worked 2 out of 10 times.
We've gotten evidence. It worked every time, but when it got evidence.
Yeah. So that's something to see, because there's only two ways for that's going to work, is if you physically touch it or break the energy field around the antenna. And the two times that we witnessed that, no one was touching it. There's nothing near it. And it just lit up like a Christmas tree. So once that thing's going, that's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, it's kind of not nerve-wracking, but kind of creepy because you can't see what is physically
what's making it work.
What's physically altering the device? You can't see it. You just see it light up because when you first get it, is that when you physically touch it, it lights up, or if you barely put your hand around or next to the antenna, it will light up. So, but when it's just sitting there, and you've had it on in 10 different locations or investigations, and two of those 10 locations, it lights up, and no one was touching it, no one was even near it, and that's something to see happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when teams put out, you've seen like people turn on flashlights, those little twist flashlight things, and they turn them on and off. You know, a lot. Sometimes it'll work. Like, oh my God, it looks like they're really answering questions. But then it comes back to the skeptic part of you. Like, well, that's you know, it's flashlights. It's turning on and off because it's so loose. But then again, you can't explain why, you know, when you ask a question, turn it on if you're a male or a female, and it actually answers the questions,
you know,
pretty accurately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives you pause. You're like, well, I don't know. Maybe it is. You know, maybe it is that way. Maybe it is, you know, actual piece of evidence.
Right.
But yeah, the REM pod is definitely a very interesting piece. Like you said, when it works.
Yeah. Well, we had got great evidence on the USS North Carolina in the surgery room with the REM pod. And then after that was over with, we went back down after everybody had left. And we, because we had some people with us on the investigation, and then they left. And we went back down there with a millimeter to see if there were any, you know, electromagnetic fields around there just to try to debunk it, because it really went off a bunch, and it was responding to music.
Mm-hmm.
So, we went back down and just to make sure, you know, that just to try to debunk it, because that's one thing that I really probably spend a lot of time on is if we do get some evidence, to try to do everything I can to make sure it was real. So I'm you know, Nick talked about that. I've always believed that there's something else out there. Nick was a doubter for a long time, but I probably do more to try to debunk on a investigation by investigation basis than he does, because I'm always going, I don't know, you know, and then, you know, we can either validate it, because I really want to know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, it's good to have, like, a skeptical mind when it comes to that kind of stuff, because, you know, like you said, even early in a conversation, you know, to not get evidence every time you go out is a further validation of the evidence we do catch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to be like, oh, well, I heard a noise, so that's got to be a paranormal. Oh, and that's why I get, if I have EVPs of a knock or like a big bang, like Nick got, that's different. You know, because you're in an empty house, you hear a big bang inside a house, that's good evidence. But if I hear something like a slight knock or something,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put that out as evidence.
Mm-mm.
Even if I know, yeah, exactly. Even if I know that I'm the only one in there, there's no reason for them to be knocking. You know, it could be something I just didn't hear. You know, but if you hear like a big, like you said, a big, like a board falling down or something like that, you know, or it scares the crap out of you, you know, you know, it's definitely worth putting out there for sure, you know. But breathing, stuff like that, I don't like, oh, there's a deep breath. And my cord is pretty sensitive. I wouldn't be surprised if it caught me breathing hard. You know, sometimes it sounds like I'm Darth Vader on my EVPs. Like I'm just like mouth breathing right into the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So I don't know. We're getting close to the end of the show. Mm-hmm. I actually add an extra half hour onto the show just in case, you know, we need to go over. It looks like we're going to use every bit of it. So,
yeah.
Definitely want to thank you guys for coming on the show and talking to me.
Well,
and
thank you
about
so
your
much for having
team
us.
And everything.
Well,
yes, thank you.
Thanks for having us. I knew you when you were just a little bitty thing, and then I didn't see you again for years and years and years. So it's really been nice getting to know you.
The family reunion at Smith Mountain Lake.
Oh yeah.
Was that okay.
Yeah.
That was fun. I definitely enjoyed going out there. That was a lot of fun.
It was fun. And you know that film Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. We were and I know Mom would be like, that's where Baby and what's his face? I don't know what his name was in Patrick Swayze's name and
Johnny.
Baby and Johnny were dancing, and you know where they poured the, where she poured the water on that guy's head, and you know Kellerman's,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
So yeah,
that place is closed now.
Oh, that's sad, because that was awesome. That was awesome. I remember going to the game room, and playing the like the shuffleboard and stuff in the game room, and you know.
Right.
Bringing back memories.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first year we went with my brother Bob, and it was Bob and his wife and their little girl Ashley, and then my mom and me, and we all rode up there together. And we pulled up to the back of the place, and Bob looks up and he goes, "What the hell is this? The Shining?" Because you know,
hotel. It is. I mean, I kind of wish I'd been in the paranormal back then.
Investigating,
but that place is haunted.
I'm sure that place is haunted as all get out. Has to be.
Man, that would be a bucket list location for me just because of the family history we have out there. To be able to go out there again.
Somebody told me that it closed or it changed hands and then they struggled and then it closed. But I could be wrong.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad because I would have liked to have gone back there.
Yeah, it was nice. I enjoyed it. We went. I think they had three of the reunions there, and I think I went to two of them. I went to the first one too. Yeah, the first one, and then the second. Then they had another one, and ended up not. And then it just all kind of that was something that Uncle John put together, and it just kind of fell. I think it just kind of fell apart after that.
I don't remember much of the actual union part. I remember going to it, maybe bits and pieces of going to the dining room and stuff, having dinner, lunches and dinners and stuff. But
there's not a lot to do there. Other than the barn with the games in it and eating. And maybe a little water stuff. There was really not a lot to do.
I think they had paddle boats.
Yeah,
out,
they did.
You know, or something, if I remember correctly. But we are about out of time. So again, I want to thank you guys.
All right, thanks, Ron.
Very much. How do we find your videos on YouTube again?
It's Ghost Questers. Just Ghost Questers.
Cool.
We have a channel, and we're also on
Facebook.
Awesome.
But I'll put the link on my Facebook page. So thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, man.
Have a great night.
Have a good evening.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye.